Good morning. Certainly good to see each and everyone here, especially we want to welcome our visitors and thank you for coming and being with us. If you would like to take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 119, we're going to be looking at verses 9 down through verse 16 in our lesson this morning. And again, it is a privilege and an honor to stand before you and hope that our time together will benefit us and help us in our life. It's a struggle to live the Christian life at times when we wrestle within ourselves and constantly temptations are presented before us, and it's important that we have a right heart. When you consider sometimes sinful behavior or questionable behavior that causes trouble or difficulty within a congregation, some may ask the question, why? Why would they do this, or why does this happen? And generally, we're always working on the symptoms of the problem, and those are the outward manifestations of whatever it is, whether it be somebody who doesn't tend regularly, maybe something that has to do with the way that we dress, maybe it has to do with some of our activities in our life, maybe it has to do with how important that we think our responsibilities are to our marriage, our mates, and our children. Whatever it is that we might want to talk about, I think if we look a little bit farther back and fix that problem, it'll help us in dealing with some of these other things. And what I believe that is the heart. And so I want us to talk about some things relating to our heart this morning. And so the question that the answer that I'd like for us to consider in Psalms 119 is how to keep your heart right. I want you to look at this text and think some things about it. Now, initially, here's some things for us to consider as we engage this study. First of all, your heart is Satan's target. I want you to think about the erosion of your moral and doctrinal beliefs. That's what he's about. That's what he wants to destroy in your life. Satan has many weapons in his arsenal as he goes about his work. TV, music, internet, educations, friends, associates, false teachers, and so on. There's just an endless list of things that we could say, you know, those are good things, and yes, they are. But when they're abused or we go beyond or that we need to, they become bad things and actually become vice to us and destroy our hearts as a result of it. Now, you are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. I want you to look at the passage in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. So we need to think about who we really are in this thing here. What we think, that's what we are. I want us to look at this text and just read it. Initially, I left this up here. It starts with that word Beth, and it's capitalized there. You might be wondering what that's all about. And I just mentioned this in passing. I'm sure that many of you have heard this before. But if you notice all the Psalms, Psalms 119 is the longest of the Psalms, about 150 verses. But it's all based on the Hebrew alphabet. The first eight verses is the word Alpha. It sits before that. And so that would be like our A in our alphabet today. And then the from verses 16 on down, about six or eight verses or so, Gimel, I think, is the Hebrew word there. That would be after the B or the Beth, here's referred to. In our language, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so on. And here you have the Hebrew alphabet broken up into this whole chapter. But let's start at verse 9 and read what the wise man has to say here in these Psalms. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Now, the title of the lesson was How to Keep Your Heart Right. I want you to just think, as you look at these verses and read them in your Bible, if you just was to think of one word over each verse that you could use to help keep your heart right, let's just pick that word out, because that's what we will do in the lesson. Let's take one word and represent a verse by it and build a lesson around that of what we're going to do to try to keep our heart right. Think about what it would take to keep your heart. What's this passage saying about that? But now initially, I want to ask you before we get into that, let's look at this first chart again. Some things to consider. Has your heart been targeted? Do you feel the eroding away of your moral and doctrinal beliefs? Let me ask you something. When you obey the gospel, if you're a Christian, is your faith as strong now as it was? Do you feel like you're slipping in some way? Are you not as committed or enthusiastic as you once was? What's happened in your heart? What has the world done to you? How has it pulled you away? Do you feel like that you're eroding away of who and really what you are? Has the world influenced you in a bad way? Have you been wounded by one of Satan's weapons? Maybe TV and music and the internet, education or a friend or associate or false teaching or so on. Again, we can see that a lot of these things are for our good. But we can misuse them. And we can destroy ourselves with it. For example, when you think, and I'll use probably the most least one that you would consider on this list, education. Education is one of Satan's tools to destroy me. Brothers and sisters, as we know, and if you're visiting with us, we want you to know that we've seen a lot of young people go away to college, and by a lot of these humanist, atheist professors have lost their faith in that journey. And it's a very dangerous ground to be on because they have, in many instances, no regard for God. It's an evolutionary humanist concept, and they're going to ingrain that in this younger generation. And as you see our society and our moral climate change of who we are as a people, we don't live in the country that we lived in 50 years ago. It's not the same place. Never be that way again in the direction that we're going. And so what we're seeing is the moral decay of a society. Now, if we can't see that, again, I think surely our head is in the sand somewhere. Because we have things eroding away. When you look at TV, and I've had people say this to me, and I've noticed it myself. Maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and I've made mention of this, and people who know me, I love old Westerns. I just do. The storylines are good, and I just enjoy watching them. But you know what I've noticed is that scenes that I had never seen in Westerns on TV today, and I think, I don't ever remember seeing that. What's up with that? It's because their moral climate is changing, and what was restricted 10 or 15 years ago is not restricted today. You know, it's interesting how many times that you can hear God's name in vain on TV anymore. The slang language, they'll bleep that out, but not to blaspheme God's name. We're not living in the place that we used to live in. You think about our friends and our associates and certainly the technology that we have and the internet and the good that it, ready information at our hands. It's a very good thing. But it also exposes us to some of the most vile vices that there is in the world. Now, see that we've taken a good thing and made a bad thing out of it. And in the process of doing that, yielding ourselves to it, look what's happening to our minds and our bodies. That we're eroding away of our moral and our doctrinal beliefs. We don't stand, we don't view like we once did. Now, why is that? Something's happening to our hearts. So I want to ask you this question this morning. Who are you? And it's one that we need to ask ourselves. And what can these passages do to help you fix your heart and keep it right? That's certainly why we're here. Is that we might evaluate our lives and think about who we are as servants of God and His kingdom and seeking to be so. That's why you're here. And I hope that as we look at these things that we'll think about what we can do. Now, I ask you, as you read those verses, and I think there's about 8 verses there that we'll look at, and I want you to pick you a word out that would represent each verse. Maybe some little key things that might help you keep your heart right. Maybe if nothing else, you can just have those words. And you think about those words and relate them to these passages. And you think, okay, I'll work on that in my life. Let's look at that this morning. It's really how to keep your heart right. It's a principle, if you consider these things. A principle of purification. Now, when you think about something that's pure, And it's we have to understand, recognize that it is by our choices that we've made that we've become impure. Not that it was instilled into us, that we have no choice in the matter. But sadly, we've made the wrong choices. And in that process, we have defiled ourselves and our minds. And so there has to be the purification of it and the cleansing of it. And of course, we see in verse 9, our first verse, how can a young man cleanse his way? And here's how to do it. By take heed according to your word. God has made the provisions in His word that you can have the cleansing. Now take heed to that. Now this Old Testament passage has some New Testament ideas in it that we want to look at. And as we think about the word of God, is that that's what saves us, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I thought you said that Jesus saves us. Well, He does. Well, I thought you said the gospel saves. Well, it does. I thought you said that God saves. He does. Repentance and faith and all those things. Yes, all of any of those that we can take out? None. Because God has placed them in His Word. They all have a purpose for that. That we might be purified. Notice what James chapter 2 and verses 21 through 25 say about this. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But now notice what we have to do. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now, we've come here this morning hopefully to reflect, to see who we are. But are we truly like a man looking in a glass? And is that our hearts are not the object of what we're here to really try to change? And then when we step back out through the door and see the world and all that's doing, we revert right back to that again? We have to think about purification and cleansing of our hearts. And to do so, we need to listen to what God has to say about it. But verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, it's not just taking a glance at it, but it's one who looks into it and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, where's the blessing here? It's obvious in the one who does the will of God. So, as we look at these principles of purification, in verse 1 and verse 2, what's the word that you might consider as you look at that passage? How about the word determination? Now, if we think about our hearts and we recognize these things are out in the world and trying to destroy us, what does that mean about our attitude toward our heart? We're going to have to be determined that we want to try to get to heaven. I'm thankful that at least on Sunday and Wednesday, generally my family, my whole family are able to sit around the table together. A lot of the times kind of go in different directions. School and so forth and work. But you know, it is an opportunity that we can all sit together. And I'm very thankful that I'm able to sit down with my family at least those times. But this past Sunday night, I looked over all my family and my children, my grandchildren. And I said, listen, we've got to get to heaven. We can't, none of us be lost. We've all got to get there. Now, and I looked down and said, Daniel, we've got to get to heaven. We've got to get these babies to heaven. That's my son-in-law. And that's what we have to do. We have to be determined that we can't be lost. We don't want to be lost. We want to all go to eternity together and be with God. Now, that takes some work. Determination for us to do that. And I hope that we're all speaking the same thing in regards to our family and our brothers and sisters. And I want to say that to you. Listen, we got to get to heaven. We got to be determined. Verse 10 says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Listen, we've got to be single-minded about this. We've got to have a determination and commitment that we got to get to heaven. We're going to serve the Lord and be faithful. And we got to keep, in order to do that, we've got to keep our heart right. We have to be determined to do that. Matthew 6 and verse 24. Now, when you think about anxiety and worry, from verse 24 throughout verse 33, that's what Jesus is talking about here, because we're concerned about existing in this present life is what we're doing. And in the process, we get caught up with the things that are going on in the world. Because the world is enslaved to everything and trying to find satisfaction in it and cannot void from God. What we need to do is recognize that let's put God first in our life, put our focus on Him, be determined that we're going to live godly, because if we don't, here's what Jesus says. No one can serve two masters, for either will hate the one, love the other, or else he will be loyal to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't be split that way. Now, where does our loyalties lie? Where is our determination to serving God? And what's it going to cost us? It's not something that doesn't have a price to it. It does, and you're the price. It's a self-sacrifice of yourself to serve and live faithful, that you can be a faithful Christian, that you can be with God when this is all over. James 1, verses 5 through 8. Now let's think about all these things and what they do to us. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, the first four verses talking about temptation and the trials of life that come against us. Seems to be in the first four verses there, things that are outward. Now, in about verses 12 or 13 or so, talks about how that you have the inward temptations there. But those are things that are constantly pulling us one way and the other and shaking our faith. But notice what all this is about. But let him ask in faith, not wavering or doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You got to determine. Single-minded with my whole heart. I'm going to keep my heart right. Now that's what our intention should be. Now, there's the reality that we fall short from that at times. But does that mean that we discard that goal and that hope and that determination? No. Lord, have mercy upon me. Forgive me. Help me get back where I need to be. That's not minimize my determination at all. Because I want to try to get to heaven. I want to keep my heart right. When we look at verse 11 here, what's your one word to help keep your heart right? How about this word? Fortification. There has to be, when you want to try to make something right, making it pure, and determination to do so, then you're going to have to put some safeguards up there. And that's the word fortification. Is that you kind of build a wall against it, or you work against it, that it'll not happen. Your word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. It's a fortification for you. Listen, regardless of wherever you are and what you're doing, think about what you're doing. Somebody says something to you before you respond, think about what God would have me to say. Think about what's right. And it's a fortification to you. It'll help you that you'll not sin against the Lord. Now, you can't know what to do right if you don't know what to do right. So, why are we not attending regularly? And why are we not engaged in our studies? And why are we not taking priority in our life and putting God first and spiritual things first? This is the outcome. We have no fortification. We're just overrun by everything that runs at us. And we're weak. And we're dead. And so that's what's happened. We're living in a city with a stick fence. And anybody can just walk through it. We need to solid it all up. And then we'll be stronger. Fortification to help keep our heart right. Now, as we look at verse 12. Or excuse me, let me finish up here with this one. I kind of forgot where I was at there. Psalm 18 verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. We're talking about a fortification. That's what the Lord is for you. Look at this one. Psalm 37 verse 28 through 31, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his child is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. It's a fortification. It's putting God's word in your heart and Him always being with you. And that's the encouragement that we can have. Now, verse 12. Think about another word that you might consider here. How about the word appreciation? When you consider all that God has done for you and how important that He is, how this word will help you keep your heart right. Verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Appreciation. And we certainly should be doing that and expressing our thanks to God for the good that He's done for us. Psalms 72, verse 18 and 19. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. And so it's just an expression of their appreciation for all of God's blessings for them. Think about how we are in God's kingdom in the New Testament and the blessings that we have there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And so it's an expression of thanks toward Him for these blessings. And shouldn't we be thankful for that? We ought to be thankful and appreciation for all things that God's provided to us through His Son, who suffered and died on the cross of Calvary for you and me, that we might have forgiveness of our sins. Let's be appreciative of that. Help keep our heart right. Be thankful. Let's go back to our points again. We look at this. If you look at just one word over about verse 13 or so, what would you have to help keep your heart right? How about the word verbalization? Look what the psalmist said in regards to that and keeping his heart right. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I think we can see in that, and the appreciation and all that God's done for us, that we ought to be sharing that with other people. Expressing it to other people. Talking about it with other people. Talking about it with each other. Expressing all of their joy of what God's done for us. God, I love you. How is that manifested? By our actions and what we say and what we're doing in regards to it. Are we talking to our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers and our family? Are we saying, God loves you. Here's what He has to say about your life and what you need to be doing. And we need to grasp hold of that. Psalm 71, verses 14 through 18. But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth. And to this day I declare your wondrous works. And so think about our life young as Christians and then growing through our life with God and this expression on your heart. Verbalization and thanking God for your many blessings and what he's shielded you from and helped you through in your life all the way to your old age. Now also when I'm an old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Now think about the influence that you've had through your life on your friends, on your family, on your co-workers. You've come too far to throw it down and to let Satan destroy your heart. Let your faith be strong and continue in that work that you began on day one. Don't let that be minimized. There's no way in order for that to happen. You've got to keep your heart right. So you have to have some thought about it. Let's look at it again as we think about these principles and these words of things that keep our hearts right. How about this word over verse 14? Evaluation. We always need to take stock and look at ourselves. Jesus cast out and look at everybody else and point out their shortcomings. But what we need to do is look at ourselves. Keep your heart right. Look at yourself. Look at it. That's what the focus is your heart. Take a look at it. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. Now, where is this evaluation? As much as in all riches. And so there as much as. You know, our hearts have a tendency to evaluate this or look at that, go at that. Well, what about the Lord's testimonies? Well, whatever it is that you're giving your life to, How much of that are you putting on the Lord's Word? Have you really evaluated that, your heart and your life and your responsibility to the Lord is to that degree? Have you spent that much time on it? Your work can consume you. But how much time are you spending with your obligation to the Lord and really evaluating what's more important to you and your heart? What's consuming you? I think we have to really evaluate and think about our decisions and who and what we really are. Because who we say we are really ain't what we are, but what we think we are, that's what we really are. That's the way it is. Matthew 13 and verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, what is that? It's an evaluation of what I have in regards to what I'll receive out of it. In a sense, when you look at the value placed on it. Now, it's a simple little illustration that God is trying to get us to see in something that has great value to it. I don't care what the price is. This field is something you got to have. And that's the point, is that that's how important the kingdom is to you. You have to have some evaluation about it and think about it, what the outcome of that is. It's something that's so precious, and you've got to have it. What about another word here as we come to winding this down, our last two verses? How about the word meditation? Keep your heart right. You've got to think about it. Meditate upon it. Dwell on it. Let it be something that you're thinking about all day long. We've already seen that in some of the passages we've considered, but look at here in verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. You ever get in a tight spot and think, well, I wish I had the words to handle this? Well, they can be there. Think about it. Stop and think about it. Choose your words wisely. Listen to what God, look at the outcome of things. Keep your heart right. Don't want to sin against the Lord. And so you have to do this. You have to meditate upon it. Let it be a part of your life every day. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, a blessed man here is a man who won't walk with, won't stand with, won't sit with that. Not at all. He ain't got no place for that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, where whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, think about what you're really trying to accomplish here. What do you really want to do? Let me ask you something. If you get your heart right, and you think about being blessed and wanting to do good for others, get your heart right and think about putting God first in your life. And then maybe you might be responsible enough for the blessings that you're looking for to maybe help somebody else. But you know, if your heart ain't right, maybe if you had all that treasure, you'd just hoard it up for yourself and wouldn't benefit nobody and actually destroy your own heart with it. What good's that for you or anybody else either? And so really, if you want to really see the rewards and the blessings of the life that God's given us, isn't it about priority? Isn't it about serving God regardless of whether we have much or little? Do you think all of us live in the same scale, income-wise? We don't. But does that make any one of us any better, any worse than the others? No. We've got responsibility with what we've got. And we do the best that we can with it. And that's the thing, is that we are to use and think about what God wants us to be. And all of that, meditating and thinking about Him first. Lord, how can I benefit You? How can I serve You? How can I be the kind of man or woman that I need to be? Here's our last word. Application. You have to look at God's Word. Think about a lot of these things we've talked about. But if you walk away and you don't put it into your life, it's not any benefit to you. You have to make application of it. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Now, it's the same expression as you might see in the New Testament where it says, Lord, I believe. I believe, and just like in Acts 3, many that believed were added to the Lord. Then we say, well, where does it say that they were repented and baptized and confessed and all that? That says they believed and they're added to the Lord. What's that? Well, the idea is a summation of it all. I will not forget your word. Well, if your word says do this, does that mean that you have not forgotten it? If you don't do it, it's not applied to you. The point is that he's making here, I will not forget your word. He has to put it into action. Lord, you said that I'm to be faithful. Well, I'm faithful. I've not forgot that. Lord, you said I need to love my neighbor. Well, I love my neighbor. Well, I haven't forgot that. Lord, I need to be faithful in serving you and attending regularly. And you don't ever show up. You forgot that. See, that's the point. We need to make application of it in our life. Let it have its place. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon through the journey of our life, through over hills and the valleys and the dark places and whatever might hole in the road that you run into. It's all there. And the whole process is for you good. It's going to help you. And it's going to let you get to the end of it. But you have to keep running. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You got to get to the end of the way. Philippians 3, verse 13, 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so now, if you're here today and your heart's shot all to pieces, the Lord can help you start plugging the holes and get you back on your feet again. And that's what this is all about. He can help you. Fix your heart, keep it right, and to get to the end of the way. That's what we have to make a decision to do in that. So keep your heart right. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now what do you think about it? That'll be seen by the way you live. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, it is through faith in Jesus, repenting of your sins and confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and being buried in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, that you reach his blood, that he could be cleansed and purified by his blood. Revelation 1 verse 5, who washed us and cleansed us in his own blood. Baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And as Romans 6 and verses 3 through 5 point out, that we were raised to walk a new life. Get your heart right, keep it right. And if you find some faults in it along the way, if you'll confess them and repent of them, he's promised that he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1 and verse 9. Whatever we need to do to assist you, that your heart will be the way it needs to be before you leave here today, and there is no reason for you to leave and it not being right. Won't you come? We stand and sing.